Here's what we find in verse 2. Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, who have eyes to see, and they see not. They have ears to hear, and they hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Now, this is something that you will find that God said from the very beginning. You go back to, for instance, the 29th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Probably I should drop back there. Let me just lift out a verse there. In verse 4, he says here, "Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day." In other words, they had their eyes closed and their ears stopped. And you'll find that not only did Ezekiel give this and confirm this truth, but you find Isaiah did, and I'll not turn to that passage, but you'll recall in Isaiah 6, 9 and 10, Jeremiah also confirmed it, Jeremiah 5, 21, and the Lord Jesus Christ, you remember, did that. And then you will find that the book of Acts closes with that type of a statement. And that's the last time that it occurs. And again, it's a question of these people with closed eyes and ears. I'm reading now Acts 28, verse 26, saying, "Go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall not hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their heart, should be converted, and I should heal them." Now, anyone that says today they can't believe, it's never mental. It's always of the will of the heart. They don't want to. The man that says, "I have certain mental reservations. I have certain mental hurdles I can't get over." My friend, your mind is not that big to make even one little hurdle. The problem is never in the mind. The problem is the will. There's sin in your life. You don't want to turn to God. You don't want to believe Him. Israel is just a little miniature of the world. And I think we need to look at it like that in this book here, that the condition of Israel is the condition of the world. Israel was a little microcosm of the entire world, and this spirit of unbelief is abroad today. I was talking not long ago to a man. He's a college professor, very courteous, very polite, and he wanted me to know that he appreciated. He said, "I've listened to you. I appreciate your ministry and your viewpoint and all that." But he says, "You know, I have certain mental reservations." Well, I had to bite my tongue to keep from telling him. To begin with, he's assuming that he is so far intellectually ahead of me that I can't see it, but that he can. And that is assuming something he doesn't have. I know this man. He and I were in college together. And when I was in college, I worked with the psychology professor. And I found out what my IQ was, and I found out what his was in the rest of the class. And I want to tell you something. His wasn't so good, by the way. But he has intellectual reservations. You know what his problem is? He is today having an affair with a former student of his in the class. He doesn't know that I know it. May I say to you, she's his intellectual problem, by the way. And that is quite a problem. Now, blindness in part has happened to Israel. And that's true of the world today. That's very important to see here. And that's the reason that we wanted to emphasize that at this particular point. Now, this man, because of their attitude, he's not only going to give them a parable, he's going to enact the parable out. And this is a good one. You know, this man, Ezekiel, He's not only, in my judgment, a very brilliant man, but he had a real sense of humor. I'd love to have seen his face when he went through some of these mechanics. I think he's a ham actor if there ever was one. And I think he was greatly amused when he did this.